Good afternoon. I know I told you 3:05, but we're going to get started now. So first of all, thank you all so much for filling the room. This is amazing at 3 o'clock. Yes. If you have an open seat next to you, raise your hand so the folks in the back of the room can come have a seat. Love this microphone. Can you take the mic home? Sure. Absolutely. We finding seats for the folks in the back of the room? There's several in the front row, if you'd like. Don't be shy, be bold. Be warriors, is what I heard this morning. Okay, my name is Jackie Gadson. I am the Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion and Customer Experience for Comcast. It's an honor to be your MC today, and it's a special honor for me given the fabulous speaker that you're going to hear from momentarily. I am grateful every day I get to come to work and work with so many amazing women. Several are here at the conference today. I know there's many out in this session, so thank you so much. My sister, Angie, is also here, so thank you, sister. I love that. Comcast, you know, diversity and inclusion is really at the heart and soul of everything that we do. We are laser-focused on the advancement and the development of women. I'm living proof of that, having had the opportunity to be advanced and promoted in various positions in Comcast. I'm a Watertown, Mass. Native. Feeling the love here, thank you. I've been in the cable industry for 26 years. Don't try to guess how old I am. And by far, this has got to be the best, most powerful conference ever held for women. And I really hope that everybody here really took advantage of the peer networking and you went to all the sessions to really hear and learn from all the amazing, powerful, established women. As I said, today is really special for me because I have had the honor to get to know Grace Killalea when she was at Comcast. And Grace, you might not remember this, but back in like 2009, 2010, I was at a crossroad in my life, both personally and professionally. And Grace, you were there to support me, to guide me, to give me the support that I needed. And today, I truly view you as a close friend of mine. I want to publicly thank you for everything that you've done to help me have a bold, strong, confident voice. Now, I don't know if you got a chance to read Grace's bio. I'm going to give you some of the highlights, and it's pretty long, and maybe one day when I grow up, I will be Grace. She's the CEO and founder of the GKC Group, a veteran of the telecommunications industry, and served as the Senior Vice President of Talent, first ever VP of Talent Management and Leadership Diversity at Comcast. She spent 35 years in talent management, human resources, retail, and programming. In 2013, Grace launched Half the Sky Leadership Institute, which is dedicated to expanding opportunities for women leaders to advance and thrive. In 2015, she launched the co-ed leadership program called Quattro. There are over 800 leaders who have graduated. She serves on the board of the Girl Scouts of the Eastern Pennsylvania. Her second book, The Confidence Effect, was listed as one of the top business books of 2016 in Inc.com and has been one of the top 10 best-selling books for women in business on Amazon. In closing, she's a certified Berkman consultant and also trained at the prestigious Center of Creative Leadership. So now, here to present Confidence Effect is Grace Killalea.
Hello. I don't do this normally.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're the best.
It's really nice when a friend gets to introduce you. Thank you, Jackie. So, and I was starting to, and you know, this stuff's not waterproof, so girl, I can't look like a raccoon before the end of my session. So I am Grace Killalay, and I'm the founder and CEO of the GKC Group. And as Jackie said, I retired as the Senior Vice President of Talent for Comcast Cable. That meant I was responsible for talent management and recruiting for the entire organization. It was 1 million resumes a year, 27,000 hires a year. We did 8,000 to 9,000 internal transfers. And I was responsible for talent management for 3,000 directors and above. I'm also the same woman who stood up on an airplane and had her skirt fall off. Yeah. And people say, well, what did you do? And I said, I picked it back up. I was on a flight to Buffalo, New York. I reached into the overhead. I felt a cool breeze around my ankles. I looked down, and there was my skirt puddled. I leaned down. I picked it up. I waddled to the end of the gateway. At the time, I had a tiny little red stapler, some of you will remember, and I stapled my tights to my skirt all the way around, and I went to my meeting. Because sometimes you have to get through what you got to get through. And I'm going to talk to you about confidence. Confidence is not perfection. Confidence isn't something that stays with you 24 hours a day. Confidence is a decision that you have to make. And sometimes it really is stapling it together till you get through what you got to get through. Confidence is a greater predictor of your long-term career success than mere competence. Just being good at the work is not enough. It's critical. You are never going to hear someone who's had a 35-year corporate career and 100 partner companies tell you that being good at the work doesn't matter. But if being good at the work was enough, there would be at least 50 to 60 to 70 to 80% of more women in top leadership roles. We're smart enough. We work hard. Why aren't we getting where we need to go? There are absolutely institutional barriers that are out there that I'm not going to solve standing here today. But I want to talk about some of the barriers we create ourselves. Because one of the things that we know is that women don't necessarily raise their hand for opportunity at the same rate that men do. Women aren't necessarily asking for what they want. And we qualify out much faster than we qualify in. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to do something really quickly. I'm going to come off script for just a second. I spoke in front of 20,000 people last year across the country. I have never, not once, ever had a female AV tech in the room with me. So there's Kira. Not ever. 20,000 people. I've spoken in meatpacking plants. That was fun. Smell like ham, like what's that ham, the honey baked ham? I smelled like honey baked ham for a week. I was like, wow. Kept trying to lick my own hand. We'll come back to that in a second. Door number two. Is it Sarah? Where's Sarah? Sarah, stand up. Sarah is a senior in high school. What level Girl Scout are you?
I'm an ambassador.
She's an ambassador for the Girl Scout. Wait for it. She's doing early decision for Dartmouth. If you light a candle, say a prayer, I don't know what you believe in. Let's get her into Dartmouth. Like, send up the mojo. Congratulations, honey. All right. I meant to do that before I started, and, you know, it just didn't work out. So I'm back. So when we think about confidence, one of the things we have to pay attention to is we don't all have the same perception. So what I'd love for you to do, if you've seen this video before, just watch along. If you haven't, just follow the directions.
This is a test of selective attention. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the basketball. How many passes did you count?
How many did you count? 16.
The correct answer
13.
Is 15 passes.
It's 15. Wait.
But did you see the gorilla?
Did you see the gorilla? loud and proud. If you did not see the gorilla, put him up. Let me see your hands. Half of you. There he is. Guy in a suit, kind of hairy.
This video right. is from...
One more time. If you didn't see the gorilla, raise your hand. If you've seen the video before and didn't see the gorilla the first time, raise your hand. Look around. How many? It's half the room. The video's about perception. How many of you have seen Big Bang Theory? Okay. If Leonard and Sheldon had a baby, that's who I'm married to. So my husband's name is Leonard Armstrong. He is a computer science guy. He has a master's in computer science. He's getting a second master's in big data science. You with me? This math guy. And he collects Legos, action figures, comic books. I wish I was kidding. I'm not. But he does, and he's adorable. But I played this video for my husband, Len, and he watched it, and I said, how many times did they, you know, and he goes, 15, and he's a little annoyed because it's so simple, right? And I said, did you see the gorilla? He says, there's no gorilla. So I hit the button, big hairy guy walks through, and my husband is convinced that his low-tech wife managed to insert the gorilla after, because it's not possible. He missed it. The video's about perception. And one of the things I want to invite you to do is to realize that sometimes the same group of people don't see the same thing, and that maybe sometimes you need to clean your lens off. Sometimes there's an opportunity that you're missing your own gorilla. And the other thing is, when you know something to be true, do not let someone else tell you it is not true. When you know your truth, when you really know what's true for you, nobody gets to tell you it's not true. They just don't. So, why do I do this? State of the state. And you know, if you're a woman in this country, you hear these numbers a lot, but it's important because when I retired, and I call it my rewirement, because I left corporate America with the intention of starting a business. And so I was really clear that 53, this is what I wanted to do. 53% of everybody who enters the workforce today is a woman, but only 37% of managers and supervisors are women. We often talk, and personally I think too often, about not enough women in the C-suite. Where are the managers? Where are the supervisors? Where are the directors? Where are the women in the middle of the pipeline? Because the leak starts right away. Why aren't more women raising their hands for jobs? There is an urban myth that women don't want careers, women aren't ambitious, that women aren't applying for jobs because they have, wait for it, families. And unless I miss the memo, there is not a surgical procedure that takes out a woman's ambition when she has a child. It doesn't, they go, oh, you had a baby, you'll never be ambitious again. The statistics are staggering. 40% of households are either female primary breadwinner or female single head of household. So women are working, supporting families. Why would we not want more opportunity? Why would we not want to make more money? Why would we not want equal pay? So 83% of women who already have a leadership position, when they're surveyed, say, I'd like more responsibility. So we can't allow that urban myth to keep us from raising our hands. Even well-intended companies and leaders may not ask you if you're interested in opportunity because you have a family. I used to hear leaders do it all the time. Oh, she has children. She won't want to relocate. Have we asked her? Because we ask men and just assume their families will go. But we rarely ask women. And I invite you to make sure that if you are relocatable, if you are somebody interested in more, that you tell people. Because people will assume you're not until you tell them that you are. And this number we've talked about, top of the house, 4%. It's abysmal. I'm depressed. I can't look at it anymore. So, okay, but this makes me happy. This is me. Cute, right? 1964, San Diego, California. Anybody born in that era rode, took a picture on that same pony. I swear that pony was tired. I was born in Naples, Italy, to an Italian mother who was from Castiglione del Lago, Italy, which is in Umbria. And my father was born in Boston, was an American citizen in the United States Navy. He met my mother there, and we relocated with the family to San Diego to be in a Navy base there. My mother was taken out of school in the third grade to raise her brothers. So she moved to a country where she had no family, no friends, didn't speak the language, wasn't well educated in her own language. But by the way, it's important for me to say here as well, education and intelligence are not the same thing. My mother was very, very bright, just didn't have what we would call experiences in the educational system that many of us have exposure to. When we got here, my father went off to sea, and my mother wanted me to be an American girl. And what that meant to her was that I would speak English without an accent. So my mother went to the one woman in my neighborhood, 1964, and said, look, the one woman in my neighborhood had a college degree. If in 1964 a woman had a college degree, what was she? Teacher? Nurse? Secretary? Let me do that for you one more time. Teacher, nurse, secretary. And then you were supposed to go get an MRS degree. Go be somebody's wife. Go get your MRS. So, and by the way, Gloria Steinem, thank you. Seriously. You know, in 1973, you could not get a credit card in your own name as a woman in this country. Did you know that? In 1973, I couldn't own a business or buy a house without a husband or a father to sign on my papers. So if you see Gloria Steinem, light a candle, thank that woman. Because she and women like her have created a space for us. But my mom found the one woman in my neighborhood who had a college degree. Her name was Mary Ryan. Mary Ryan was this big, this wide, little Irish fireplug. And my mother went to her and said, I will make you pasta vajol. I will make you eggplant parmigiana. We'll teach my girl to read. Who's Irish in this room? I'm in Boston. Nobody goes out for Irish food ever. I'm sorry. I'm half Irish, half Italian. Mary Ryan's like, I can't cook my way out of a paper. But you go for a pint, and then you go eat Mexican, Ethiopian, Chinese. Pick a country. We're going to teach you Fridays, but not no more potatoes. No more. Mary Ryan and my mother taught me a valuable lesson. Here's the first one. My mom taught me that for many of us, what keeps us from feeling confident is we lack a skill. There's something we don't know how to do. But instead of being ashamed and trying to figure it out herself or never filling in that gap, my mom found a woman who could help her. My mom, with her third grade education, went to a woman with a college degree and said, I can do this for you. You do this for me. She taught me the difference between a network and a support group. If there is wine and crying, you're in a support group. If there's an exchange of information, power, and opportunity, you're in a network. And Mary Ryan gave my mother the ability for me to read, and my mother cooked for Mary. If I lock the doors in here, where are my finance people? Where are the people who are like good at the math? All right, see those women? They have the keys to the kingdom. If you're in corporate America and you can't read a P&L, or you don't understand a spreadsheet, or you don't know anything about your earnings call, buy one of those broads a cup of coffee and say, girl, help me. Because I do not know. I'm in those meetings going, And then I go home, I'm like, I don't know what the hell we're doing. If you are in a meeting and you are lost, you will fall further and further behind. Where are my money girls again? Put your hands up. Let me see you. These women can help you read a P&L. And you know what you do? You go, I'll make you pasta vajol. What do you know how to do? Because if I lock, what's your version of pasta vajol? Lock the door. I'm a great networker. I'm great at relationships. I'm really good at creative. I understand social media. What are you good at? If I lock the doors right now, and said, everybody put their superpower. What is it? I'm a really good speaker. I'm enthusiastic. I can gather people. I'm detail-oriented. I understand how to do this, right? If we put all of you together, how powerful would we be? But the reason we lack confidence is we sit in our silos, we stew in the stuff we don't understand, and we don't ask for help. So if you want to feel confident, open your mouth, tell somebody, I'm tired of being lost in this meeting. Will you help me? And if that woman says no, don't let that door close on you. Find another woman, because if she says no, someone's going to say yes. But how often, if someone comes to you and asks you for help, what do? You help them. But God forbid you should ask. because I'll sound stupid. I'd rather you ask the question once and then not feel stupid doing the earnings call or wherever you feel lost in your company. So that's one of the things my mother taught me. My mother also taught me something else. My mother taught me that kindness is a superpower. And I'm verklempt today. I'm like, I cried in my first session. I'm just telling you now. It might just get messy up here. Do not confuse confidence and arrogance, right? One of the things that we know is that women struggle with feeling confident because they feel like it's bragging. Like, I'm going to be bragging and talking about myself. Muhammad Ali has a quote. It ain't bragging if you can back it up. Right? If you're good at something and somebody said, are you good at this? Your answer should just be yes. I got challenged by this side of the room. I won't call anybody out in particular. She said, are you going to inspire me? I said, yes. If you speak about confidence, and if I said, I kind of suck, I'd get up and leave. You should be able to very clearly articulate what you're good at. The difference between confidence and arrogance is your attitude. Confidence only lives in positivity. Arrogance only lives in negativity. Confidence lives in abundance. I'm good at this, but what are you good at? I'm good at this. You can be good at it too. Arrogance is, I'm the smartest person in the room and you suck. It's about, I'm better than. Does that make sense to you? That's why, but for women, we think it's all negative. USC did a study that we like positive, people who can positively self-disclose. Are you good at this? Yes. People like that. They're drawn to it. What people are uncomfortable with, it's like, well, sort of maybe. I don't suck as much as some people. Oh, okay, moving right along. So think about, as you struggle with the idea of why is confidence important? Because it shines a light on your competence. It lets people see what you're good at. And when you are confident, you can hold the light for other people. There's plenty of pie. I tell people that all the time. There's so much opportunity. But when we're closed off, we don't see it. I wanted to share with you the people that we interviewed for the book very quickly. It was important when I wrote this book that the voices and the lenses that women look through weren't exactly like mine. I wanted to talk to women who were of different ethnic backgrounds, gay, straight, young, old, entrepreneurs, not-for-profit, military. There's such a cross-section of women on here. There were 16 that were generous with their time. And the reason it was important was I know as a leader in HR and diversity that as women, we even as women do not all have the same experience. And it is important, and I try, and I'm sorry I didn't say this in the first session, we have enough hurdles as women to get over without getting in each other's way. We have to respect and honor that not every woman has the same experience as us, and to let every voice be heard. Because if it's just me, it's a one very thin slice of what's possible. Two women I want to call out in specific, and they're all spectacular, but my friend Vernice Armour, first African-American female combat pilot in the United States, basically a badass, rides a Harley. She is one of the top paid women speakers in the country. And she came out of the Marine Corps, went on, now she comes in a flight suit to the Top Gun music. I mean, I got nothing compared to her. I'm like, I threw some rhinestones on my shoulder. Like, I mean, I got game, but you really, it's hard to not like step out of the flight suit to Top Gun music. I'm like, come on. And then my friend Dana Gage, to just show you the sort of diversity of these women. Dana was a very successful marketing executive. And one beautiful summer day on a lake in Texas, her son was swimming with friends and did not come back up from the bottom of the lake. And Dana now spends her entire life creating lake safety around the United States and for people to live buoyantly. So these are women that have so many different lenses. It's important that I highlight them when I talk about the book. I said this to you earlier. Competence is table stakes. So for the purposes of the rest of our conversation, when I talk about confidence, I am assuming you are doing good work consistently on a regular basis. Because you know the people that don't, right? You know those people when you're on a project with them and you're like, oh, it's going to be late. I'm going to have to check their work. Men and women. You know, so you are competent. We've got that down. But when we start to talk about confidence, and here's where I get into sort of the tactics. When we talk about confidence, what you say to yourself is the GPS of your life. If I listened to society, I would not get out of bed in the morning. If I listened to social media, Grace Killalea would pull the covers up over her head and not leave her house. Because I'm old, I'll be 59 in 2 weeks, and I'm fat. Yes, I said it. I'm not pleasantly plump. I'm not a little husky. I'm not fluffy. I'm full-on Mac Daddy fat. Yes, I said it. So, but here's the thing. I've been 400 pounds. I've been 180. I'm neither one today. But here's how I go through life. If you can't hide it, decorate it. What you tell yourself matters. Not good enough, fit enough, pretty enough, didn't go to the right school, you have an accent, you're not the right color, you're too old, you're too young, you're too short. Pick a category of not enough. And we qualify out of our own lives. We say we don't belong. Nobody here gets a GPS and says, I'd like to go the longest distance. I'd like to hit every pothole. Could I sit in rush hour traffic for a couple of hours? And when I get there, slam me into a wall. Yes! And yet, how many of you, even today, have said, you stupid piece of crap. You know better. Nobody wants you here. You don't belong. If they only knew. How many of you talk to yourself in a way that you would never speak to your child, to your best friend? How many of you set your GPS to run into a wall every single day? I want to play a video for you. For the purposes of the work that I do, the definition of beauty is the energy that you put into the room. It is not your cheekbones. It is not how much you contoured. It's not how many pair of Spanx you have on. One today. Let's watch this.
It was my choice. And now I will question myself for the next few weeks, maybe months.
We had an option of two pathways to walk, and they led to two doorways. It was a bit confronting, actually, to be honest, to see these big signs and feeling like you had to choose and be self-conscious of how you perceive yourself and perhaps if it lines up with how the rest of the world perceives you.
I went through the average door.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I didn't even hesitate.
漂亮对我的概念来说就是，像明星那种遥不可及的那种。我走的是一般。
Mas eu acho que é mais porque eu me arrependi da escolha porque era diferente do que eu vivo, é diferente do que eu sou.
Am I choosing because of what's constantly bombarded at me, what I'm being told that I should accept, or am I choosing because that's what I really believe?
I walked into that door with said average, and I didn't feel really good after that, because obviously I had rated myself average, and nobody else.
Todos os dias eu passo pela porta comum e ontem foi um dia único e eu optei por passar pelo bonita.
I wanted to go through the average door, but my mom just pulled me over to the beautiful door.
Thank you.
that triumphant feeling. It was like telling the world, I think I'm beautiful.
I just wish more young women realized it.
要是再给我一次机会走那扇门的话，我觉得我应该会选很美的扇门。
I think I would walk through the beautiful door.
Acho que a porta bonita está completamente aberta para mim.
Maybe I could walk in that door.
You can.
Next time I look into the mirror, I will see somebody really beautiful looking back at me.
Beautiful is a great word. So why not see what's on the other side of that?
So, I've obviously seen this video hundreds of times, and I'm always struck by certain things. I'm always struck by the woman who doesn't pick either door, and there's always laughter. And what I would submit to you is, many of you are not even choosing the average door. I think that's an uncomfortable laughter, because given the choice between beautiful and average, to not even pick average, how many of us don't raise our hand, don't walk through the door, don't ask for the opportunity, because we don't even think we're good enough for average? I'm struck by the laughter when the mom pulls her daughter through the door, right? Yay, mom! And what I would submit to you is, if you want to raise confident boys and girls, your children need to see you walk through that door all by yourself. They need to know you think enough about you. That's how you teach confidence. You don't teach confidence by dragging somebody through the door. You say, follow me. Watch me walk through the door. I think we're going to have an entire generation of children that don't have pictures of their mothers, because we live in a selfie generation where women are hiding behind the Christmas tree. And, oh, I don't want to be in that picture, because we're so critical of the shadow under our chin, or that our eyebrow is not filled in enough. And so there are children that will not look at pictures of the holidays and see you in them, or loved ones. My mother died when I was 24. And I would give anything to see the liver spots on her hands. What we love about people is not perfection, right? It's their energy. Think about the people that you love. You don't go, oh, girl, you better pull that up. You put some primer on that. What you see, right? What you respond to is their energy and their joy and their intelligence and their compassion and their kindness. And when you bring that to the room, you are the most beautiful person in the room. That's the confidence. Like, I'm here. You're right. Would I like to be 180 pounds? Sure. I'm not there today. So am I not going to live my life today because I'm not where I think I should be? Or am I going to be the best version of myself today and show up and say hell yes to my own life? That's what confidence is. It's not about perfection. It's about showing up. So that's another thing. If you want to be confident, you got to start saying yes to things. What do you say no to? That, how many doors do you not even walk through because you don't think you belong? If you're a reader, one of my favorite books on this is by Shonda Rhimes, The Year of Saying Yes, where she said yes to everything that scared her. I just did a TED Talk, which I hope you will go watch. It's called The Year of No Fear. If you Google my name on YouTube, you'll find me. I transformed my life in 2011, about falling off the stage, but I caught it. 2000, yeah, that would be an interesting story. My skirt fell off, and then I fell off the stage. Woo! My team's back there going, I'm not carrying her home. Nope. You're all fired back there. I know what you're thinking. In 2011, I completely transformed my life by saying yes to everything that scared me. Showing up is about going back to school. Where are you limiting yourself in your life? Because saying yes matters. Now, I'm not saying yes to things that are overtly dangerous or, sure, you can have all my money. I'm talking about, which, by the way, was my husband. We'll talk about that in a minute. My practice husband. We'll come back to him. But showing up for your life is about saying yes to the things that scare you and asking if you can be there. May I come to that meeting? I'd like to be involved in that project. Will you send me to the conference? I transformed my career in 1994. It's an old colleague of mine, Aaron Pickney, is in the audience. Aaron and I met at my very first job in cable in the 1990s in Maryland. It's lovely to see you, my friend. And all the men that I worked with were going to a national cable conference. It was the cable show. I worked with 9 men, and I was the only woman on the team. And they were all going to the cable show. And I decided that because I was a woman, I wasn't invited. So I went to my boss. Yep, doing the ugly cry, you know, the snotty nose of, you're not sending me to the cable show because I'm a woman. And he said, you didn't ask to go to the cable show. What? I'm sorry, what? He goes, the guys all asked me, you want to go? Trying to be all cool, right, suck back the ugly cry. Yes, I'd like to go. He's like, okay. Okay, I'm sorry, what? Okay. What, I had to ask to go? All right. So I go to the cable show, and while I was there, there was this group, this magical unicorn group of women. They were all had done this leadership program. And I said, unicorns, because there were so few of them, they were magical and glittery. I'm like, how do I become one of you? And they're like, we went to a leadership program together. It's called the Betsy Magnus Leadership Institute. So I went back to my boss. This time I'd not stomp, nor did I do the ugly cry. And I said, there's a leadership program for women, unicorns, and I would like to go. And he goes, okay. Now, it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes you're going to ask for stuff and you're going to hear no. But going to that leadership program transformed my life. And I went from a director of HR to the senior vice president of a Fortune 50 company because that program helped instill in me the relationships I needed, the skill sets that I needed, and the confidence that I needed. And I found out how I was wired and who I was wired to. But here's the thing. It started with me asking to go to the cable show. I do not recommend the ugly cry and the stomp, but that's the only tools I had available to me at the time. But ask for what you want and pay attention to what you get. Show up. Suit up. I want to talk a little bit about executive presence, because when we talk about confidence, there is an external component to it. Last night I was in the Gip shop buying my 7,000th Diet Coke. Yes, I'm addicted. You know, the guy's like $5. I'm like, just take my money. And a woman said to me, are you one of the speakers? And I said, I am. She said, you look like you're a speaker. I said, thank you. How you show up, how you dress, how you carry yourself matters. Now, there is a difference between wearing a ball, you know, I don't wear a ball gown to the office because it's not, wait for it, appropriate. So I want to talk a little about what executive presence is. Because if you work in corporate America, this is what talent and HR leaders talk about, but very few people can define it. The Center for Talent Innovation did a white paper on this very topic, and I have boiled down a 100-page paper to one slide. You can thank me later. Here are the highlights. Right? How many of you have heard the term executive presence? And if you tell people what is it, they're going, I don't know. It's like stress. What is stress? Do you have it? Same thing. 5% of executive presence is appearance. Presentation of self. I'm going to come back to it. 28% is your ability to communicate, articulate, and influence. But the Mac Daddy, 67% of executive presence is gravitas. Most people are like, I don't know what that is. Here's the bottom line. Gravitas is your ability to stand over your own power. It is grit, and wait for it, it's confidence. We want leaders to look and act confident. This is why it's such a big damn deal in your careers. If someone says, are you good at something, and you're like, maybe, they move along. If people say, who's ready to do this, and you raise your hand, even when you're scared out of your mind, you may get that opportunity. But let's break these down just a little bit. The ability to communicate and articulate ideas, 28%. You do not have to want to be a professional speaker. But you must speak. 70% of all voices we hear in meetings are male. The Washington Post did an article when President Obama was in office. He had a significant number of women working at the White House. During his first administration, the women noticed that very often their ideas were not being taken into account. They're like, we're saying things, nobody's listening to us. So they did this thing where if one woman would say something, another woman would sort of amplify it by saying, Jackie had a great idea, let's go back to that. Oh, let's go back to Mary's ideas. I mean, they're amplifying. But you cannot amplify silence. It requires that women are speaking. How often do you sit in a meeting and try to perfect your answer? You know what I'm talking about. All right, Mike is going to say this. Then Jody's going to say that. And then I'm going to say the most brilliant thing and drop the mic. Meanwhile, that meeting has ended. And everybody's back in their office and you've been ruminating, right? Because God forbid I say something wrong. 80-20, baby. If you got 80% of it, put it out there and see what happens. Men do it all. How many times have you been in a meeting with a man and went, what? I'm sorry, excuse me, what? And he says it and people go, no, not today. Nobody bats an eye. Why are we so afraid to say, here's my thought? And if somebody says, that's the stupidest damn thing, and that, by the way, I've heard that before, that's the stupidest damn thing, you don't pack up your bat and ball and go home. You say, all right, Jackie, well, why do you not like my idea? Let's mix it up. Tell me how this could be better. That's the gravitas part, standing over your own power. But what we do is somebody says, that's a bad idea, and we're like, okay, well, I'm just going to put myself in the timeout corner, and I'll be back in 5 years. You guys go get promoted. You with me? How many times do we see women stop talking in meetings? If you don't speak, you're not in the room. I don't care if your butt's physically in the chair. You are not there until you start contributing. Let me talk a little bit about the packaging piece. I run a leadership program called Half the Sky Leadership. I've had 800 people go through my program. Now I have a co-ed offering as well. When I get calls from companies where they're sending their high potential women, one of the number one reasons they call me is that 5%. Mary's really smart, but she is not dressing appropriately for the job. She's not polished enough. We don't want to put her in front of customers, or she's dressed inappropriately. And why aren't companies telling us this? Because it's hard to say. They're afraid of being sued. So what you have is a barrier that you don't know is in front of you that until you fix, you're not going to get promoted. We had a woman to come to my program. It's a true story. We're in Atlanta. She walked in, and I thought, oh, she's in the wrong room. Literally, that's what I thought, because I'm a high-potential professional program. I knew her company. She sat down, and I thought, oh, my. Cut down to here, up to here, 6-inch heels, long nails, lots of makeup, lots of jewelry. Going to a club. That's what the look, going to the club. And she spoke and she said, I'm working on my master's degree. I'm the mother of two. I'm making Italian sauce every weekend for my family. And I don't know why I'm not getting promoted. And I'm like, pick me. ooh, Horshack. But here's the thing. 7 years in her company, nobody, not once, not ever, said, you are dressing inappropriately. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and I hope I'm wrong about this. I don't think I am. Men are no longer going to coach women around any of this stuff because they're terrified. So I'm going to tell you nothing. And you're not going to get promoted. You're not going to get promoted because you're not polished enough. You're not going to get promoted because you're not appropriate for this meeting. And here you are killing yourself, and you don't know it's something as simple as lower the hem. Right? So I say to her, how open are you to some feedback? And she said, bring it on. Because if you want to be confident, you better damn well be coachable. You have to be coachable in your life. Confident people, confidence requires that you are willing to get input. And she said, all right, bring it. I said, your insides and your outsides are incongruent. I don't know how smart you are, how capable you are, and how committed you are, because I cannot get past how inappropriately you are dressed for this corporate environment. And she said, what do I need to do? I gave her a list. She's been promoted twice. 7 freaking years she didn't get promoted. You hear me? You have to be willing to hear feedback. You have to be willing to go to people. I talked to you about a network and a support group. You better have people in your life who tell you the truth. Grace, you better bring that back. Whoa! One of the best pieces of feedback I ever got regarding executive presence, I was asked to speak to the board of directors at Comcast. It's a big deal. Special floor, special elevator, all kinds of magic happens. And my boss said, you're going to speak to the board of directors. Don't be funny. What do you think I heard? Don't be you. Because I'm funny. So I went out, I bought a navy suit, a little tiny pearl necklace, a little tiny pearl earrings, made my hair really flat, brought it all the way down because I thought, okay, I just have to be very... What my boss didn't say, don't be you. What he said, be appropriate for this meeting. Think of yourself as having a dimmer switch, right? Me at 100%, way too much for most people. And that's just true. So I have to roll... I'm not inauthentic, but I'm appropriate. I dial it down. So I roll in around a 70. Sometimes that's too bright. Oh, you're 40 percenters. Here I go. And I don't make myself small. I make myself appropriate. Sometimes it's 100%. When I'm up here, I'm rolling in around a 90. Sometimes I'm a 105. That's very frightening. But the truth is, be appropriate. I won't belabor the point, but I am telling you, this stands in the way of too many women. And things like having a bad handshake. Hey. So if you come to my book signing, and I hope you will, and you have a crappy handshake, you will have a good handshake and a signed book when you leave. Speak up. We talked about this. Put your voice in the room. Let's watch this video.
Sorry, can I ask a stupid question?
Sorry, do you have a minute?
Sorry.
Rose?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, there he is.
Mind if I squeeze in here?
Sorry. Sorry. You go first.
I was gonna say.
Why don't we go back to the original thing that we did?
Morning. Got a minute?
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Women say we're sorry because we're breathing in and out. People walk into us, we apologize to them. It's important for me to say to you that accountability is a very important leadership competency. When you make a mistake, you've got to own it. But what we know about women is that women will take a mistake they made 5 years ago and then remind you of it every time you offer them an opportunity. Remember that time I was late on that project and you had to triple check? That'll never happen again. Stop taking your past, calling it in front of you, throwing it in front of you and calling it your future. We have to let stuff go. When you screw up, apologize, move on, and don't do it again. When I started my company, I sent one vendor to one of my clients who I'd vetted, and I called my client and I said, how did it go? My brand new business started with my own money at my kitchen table. I left a big career for this. And she said, yeah, we weren't happy with her. And I could feel that pit in the bottom of my stomach. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be like a bag lady and I'm not going to have any money. And my whole life flashed before me because, you know, we don't project or anything as women. And what I said to her was, Claire, I'm sorry you're disappointed. obviously I'm not going to send you an invoice for this work, and I hope I can regain your confidence and do work with you in the future. She's still my customer 5 years later. But when I talk to Claire, I don't go, remember that time I sent that person to you didn't like? I say, here's someone we've vetted. We know what your goals are for your company. We think this person's a good fit. But we over-apologize. How many times today have you said, I'm sorry? And here's the other thing. Language has power. Get rid of the word only and get rid of the word just. What do? I'm just in marketing. I'm just a student. I'm just in HR. Just as a qualifier, it minimizes you. What do? I'm a student. I've applied for early admission to Dartmouth. Rock the hell on. I own a business. That's fantastic. I'm only an admin. You see the difference in the power of that? Only and just do not serve you. They minimize you, and there's enough opportunities for that in the world. Get rid of it. And you're going to say sorry, not sorry. I'm going to plant it a bug in your ear. You're going to be sorry, not sorry. Your friends are like, why are you saying that? That woman Grace told me to. Own it when you have to. Move on as quickly as you can, and stop giving away your power, because that's how you look confident. So, start where you are. Let me go back. So, was anybody here from my morning session? Anybody here? Okay, because I had a couple people who, so good. So, I tell one of two stories in this section, the start where you are. One is funny, one is not. You're going to get the not funny story. The funny story is in the TED Talk, and it's funny. Watch it. Please watch it. It would help me tremendously to get all these eyeballs on that thing. But in 2003, I married a really bad guy. And I married him because he asked me. My whole life I've been overweight. I was overweight as a little girl. I was a fat teenager. I was senior class president and didn't get asked to my prom. When my mom died and I was 24, the old Italian ladies in the neighborhood said, all your mama ever wanted to see was for you to be married with the babies. So I felt like this enormous failure because I'd never had boyfriends, I didn't get asked out, and I'd been successful career-wise, but I didn't have relationships. I had a very big job in New York City. I made a lot of money. I was the senior vice president of a television network, and I met somebody online. And I started dating him. Nobody that I knew liked him. Nobody. So here's a clue. If everybody in your life that loves you tells you something is a problem, maybe you should listen. But, you know, they didn't know him the way I knew him. He loves me. But the thing was, I was lonely, I was afraid, and I was afraid no one else would ever ask me. So I married him. The minute I said I do, I knew I was in trouble. Quit his job immediately. And as it turns out, he was a drug addict. Now, I didn't know this about him. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I've never done a drug. I'm freaking Pollyanna. And I'm living with somebody who's literally jumping up and down in the living room, and I don't understand why. He was so hyped up. I gained 100 pounds in a year. I lost everything I owned in 18 months. I lost the home that I bought with my own money. I lost my car. Now, I'm still working. And when I would get paid, my money would just get sucked out of the bank account. And I was too ashamed to tell anybody. Because the thing about confidence is shame and confidence can't live together for very long. And I wouldn't tell people. So people would go, how are you? And I'd be like, I'm great. Meanwhile, I've gained 100 pounds, and I'm literally gray. There are pictures of me where I am physically gray. My husband used my corporate American Express card, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to get fired. I've been working since I was 17. You know what it's like to work really hard, right? Hustle every day, work on weekends. I used to clean bathrooms at the Price Club. Used to open the hot dog carts. I mean, this is not a glamorous life that I've lived, right? I ended up in SVP. I promise you, I've cleaned toilets. I've dug the change out of my car. I get it. And my life, as my body got bigger and bigger, my life got smaller and smaller. And one day, a man came to me that I worked with. And it's important for me to say here, I named my leadership program Half the Sky Leadership because there's a Chinese proverb that women hold up half the sky. good men hold up the other half. In today's world, all we hear are about bad men. The world is full of good men. And we as women have to be connected to them and have them in our tribes and have them be part of our communities. And this very good man says to me, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm breathing in and I'm breathing out." And he said, "Well, that's no way to live." And something in me broke. And I started saying to him, "I have no place to live. My mother, my father, and my sister were all gone before I was 40. I think I'm going to lose my job. I have $40 in my purse. That is all the money that I have. 40. I was a vice president. My bank account was $2,500 overdrawn. I owed $60,000 to the IRS. And I thought, I'm going to get evicted. I'm going to lose my job. I have no place to live. Where will I go? Told you I was verklempt today. And he said to me two things. Anything that money can fix is no big deal, which feels like a big deal when you don't have money. But it's true. And he said, "What would your mother tell you to do?" And I said, "My mother would tell me to get out." He said, "Then get out." I went home that night. I told my husband I had to go to Philadelphia on business. I lived in New York. I told him that one of my colleagues had called a meeting that I needed to go to. One of my colleagues, a man, used his corporate credit card so I could get a train ticket. I told my husband I was going overnight. I packed a bag with enough clothes for one night, and I walked away from everything that I had left. And I remember going to the train station, and as the train, I was at Madison Square Garden, and if you've been there, you know, you go down to the Amtrak station. I remember thinking to myself, I never have to go back. I never have to go back. I never have to go back. And the truth is, that day, I said hell no to the life. I thought to myself, the night before, he'd gotten angry at me. He had never hit me. And by the way, if you think the only way you can abuse someone is to hit them, think again. But he had never hit me. But that night, he got really angry, and he was screaming. He was up against my face, and I could feel him, like, spitting as he was yelling at me. And I thought, if he puts a hand to me, he will beat me till I die. I knew it. I knew that day. That's why I left. But as I was going down that train, I thought, this is not how I go out. This is not the end of this story. No. And hell no. Because confidence requires that you know where your hell no button is. I will not be treated this way. I will not minimize myself this way. I will not allow myself to be abused this way. And there's lots of abuse. There's bullying. But we also abuse ourselves. And how are you saying hell no to the things in your life that you need to change? I will say to you, I now own my own home again. I have a very successful business. I'm in the top 3% of female entrepreneurs in the country. I bought my house with my own damn money, and the way you pay the IRS off is one damn dime at a time. There is no place you are as a woman today, tomorrow, or 10 years from now, that you cannot recover from. So if you're sitting here and you are telling yourself, it is too late, I don't belong, I will never get there, you remember my face. You remember this woman who crawled, begged, borrowed, and stealed, and did what I had to do to get myself back where I needed to be. Because confidence requires that you say hell yes to the life that you want to have. I'm going to close with one of my favorite videos. This is a video of a little girl. She's been asked to do something she's never done before. She's going to do something at the end of this session, and that's how we're going to close. But let's listen to her as she's been asked to do something that she's afraid to do.
I'll be fine.
Have fun.
I'll do it. Well, here goes something, I guess. Okay, you can do this. I'm gonna jump.
You got it.
Whoa, my ski's slipping off.
Just remember, never snowplow, okay?
No snowplows.
Keep it straight and you'll be fine.
Okay.
You do on the 20.
Straight. Do you go faster on the in run?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Is it any steeper, do you think? Not
same,
much?
Same steepness, it's just longer.
Well, just longer. Just longer, just a bigger 20, that's all.
Yep. Have fun.
A bigger 20.
Go ahead. You got it.
I got it.
It's fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. Here.
The longer you wait, you'll be more scared.
I go. Yeah! Just the suspense at the top at the first time freaks you out. That's the only thing, it's so fun! Huh? 60 seems like nothing now.
So there's some place that you are, some mountain that you want to ski down. And what I want you to ask yourself at the end of this conference is, what am I going to do to change my life to the life I deserve to live? So Boston, we're going to end in my favorite way. I'm going to have you stand up. On the count of three, we are going to put our arms up in the air in the victory pose. And we're going to say, I got this. You guys ready? I'm going to head straight to the book signing, so I hope to meet you there. You ready? One, two, three. I got this! Boston, thank you for helping my dreams come true. Thank you so much.